Get Talent Podcast.
Yeah, let's get into it here. This is great. All right, Dan, you ready?
Ready.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Get Talent Podcast. Today, we are talking about culture. Culture, right. Danny. Culture. Yeah. Why are we talking about culture on a recruitment podcast?
I don't know.
Culture to me is so important as a recruiter. It's funny because, you know, over the years, you don't realize how important it is. But as I've been speaking with people, as I've been speaking with candidates, I've noticed that it is really the most important thing to them above anything else.
You got it.
That's so crazy too, because I feel like when I was growing up back in my day, it was about like salary, title.
That's right.
And now we're talking about things like culture, flexible work arrangements, all these soft and squishy ideas.
Oh my goodness.
That you can't just quantify, you know, and say, yeah, we rank an 87 out of 100. Like, you know, it's super interesting that here's where the conversation about talent is today.
I agree.
It really is. I think it's become even more important today than it ever has been before.
Me too.
It has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be. What percentage of your candidates talk to you about culture being a main driver for looking for a new opportunity?
You know what? I would say like 9 out of 10. Right?
Wow.
9 out of 10 times. Yeah, there's that, you know, that one individual that's really just focused on maybe the compensation or maybe flexibility. But I find that the majority of candidates that I work with really are their decision is based on the culture.
Yes.
So yeah, but what's your opinion on this, Ben? You know, especially as a CEO of a company.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, I was taught something early in my career by a COO that I reported to, and he said, culture is what your people do when you're not around. Your company culture is what they do, how they act when you're not in the room.
Oh my goodness.
And I think our jobs as leaders is to get that right, like more importantly than almost anything else. Because we can't be in the room all the time, right? So creating a culture where your people give discretionary effort, when they conduct themselves with integrity and empathy and care for the customer and their client and each other. I mean, that to me is the trick of leadership. It's the trick of parenting. It's the trick of being a leader in your personal and professional life is getting the people who you are responsible for to be the best versions of themselves when you're not around. And I think that goes to the saying of culture is what your people do when you're not in the room.
I love that. That's great. That's such a good way to look at it.
You hear this all the time. You talk about this all the time. How do you describe culture? How do you quantify it? How do you kind of define it?
Hurry up. Let's go.
Yeah. So just in terms of like, you know, looking, you know, I did some research before this podcast and
I love it. You're always prepared, Danny.
Yeah. I always want to make sure I'm ready for this. Got a lot of people listening now, so got to make sure we're, you know, doing the best job possible here.
Well, excuse me.
According to SHRM.
SHRM, Society of Human Resource Managers.
Gotcha.
Yes, that's right. Really credible source for human resources. Defines culture. And they say the definition is it defines the proper way to behave within the organization. The culture consists of shared beliefs and values established by leaders and then communicated and reinforced through various methods, ultimately shaping employee perceptions, behaviors, and understanding.
Wow.
Yeah. And the way I read that, it's how things get done in the workplace.
Okay.
You know, that's kind of the simple way to think about it, right?
You did a great job.
Shared beliefs and values established by leaders and then communicated and reinforced through various methods, ultimately shaping employee perceptions, behaviors, and understandings. What the word that comes out, stands out to me there that kind of doesn't fit, the word that's unlike the others, is perceptions. And so culture is really shaping the perception of employees about their workplace as well as their actual actions and behaviors.
Beautiful.
And I think that's really interesting because someone also taught me perception is reality. And what, you know, if they think it is, then it is. Right.
Right.
And so much also, you know, we used to hear a lot about employee morale, and I don't hear as much about employee morale. I don't even hear as much about employee engagement anymore. I mean, well, that's a big part. And now it's all falls into this culture bucket.
Oh, my.
And so we really have to manage all those things, in my opinion, through the culture bucket. And people are craving it, which also tells me that this can be a key differentiator for your company when you go to the market.
Hell yeah.
When someone is getting three offers out there, the one that has the amazing culture that everyone talks about, everyone sees, and everyone has a perception of, is going to get the offer accepted. I gotta believe it.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, especially, you know, you speak with somebody and, you know, the first thing, you know, you'll hear their response when you say the company as a recruiter that you're representing. So I'll go to a candidate and say, hey, you know, are you interested in this opportunity? It's with this company.
Yes, that's it.
Right away, I can tell, you know, what the perception is of that company's culture in the market. You know, from speaking with a number of people, and you start to get these responses, and it's really interesting to see what people are saying. And that has a huge impact on the way they will enter into a conversation with a potential employer.
That's great about employees. What are leaders saying about culture?
So PwC actually did a survey. So I did some more research on this. And according to this survey of 3,200 leaders, 67% of those respondents said culture is more important than strategy or operations.
Ooh.
Wow.
They agreed that the top cultural priorities they found in the survey were recruitment and retention.
That's amazing.
Interesting. You know, this reminds me, I'm a big sayings person.
Oh.
This reminds me of Peter Drucker, who was widely regarded as the, you know, founder of management principles, said, culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Tough guy, huh?
Now, what's funny is we're talking about how important culture is now. Peter Drucker probably wrote those words, you know, 50 years ago, 40 years ago. So make a fact check me on that.
Ow!
But so it sounds like culture has been a thing for a long time. What I sense is happening now, though, is the leverage is with the employees now.
Thank you.
The employee has way more power in the employment arrangement than they had before. And so while culture was probably always important to employees before, they probably felt like they had no recourse and no ability to go out and seek amazing culture. If they had a great work culture, if they had a great relationship with their boss, if they felt like they could bring their whole self to work, it was a matter of accidental, you know, accident, right? They were fortunate. They found themselves in a great spot and they were lucky to be there and they stayed there.
Hell yeah.
But now when you have things like Glassdoor and LinkedIn and all these forums and Reddit and everything like that, and companies' cultures, especially at big organizations, are getting, you know, spread across the front page of the Wall Street Journal.
There is always a choice.
Right? Now there's more access to information about where the good culture is. And I think that it's becoming so much more powerful and prominent. It was always important, but now it's becoming prominent, powerful, and easily indexable by employees. So I think the stakes are even higher. What are some of the other statistics you have, Danny?
Yeah. So another interesting statistic is that 72% of senior management in this report said that their culture helps successfully drive initiatives to happen.
Wow, that's really amazing.
So talk about change management.
You got it.
And this is so intuitive because change management is going to be easier when the people you're trying to lead are down for the cause, are bought in, are engaged, when there's high morale, right? And so this makes a ton of sense to me. And I feel like 80% of management these days is change management.
No way.
Right? Yeah. There is no managing the status quo anymore. It's pretty much all navigating change. right? COVID, Brexit, technology, you know, labor market, inequities. I mean, just everything is changing so rapidly right now that it feels like to be a manager or a people leader these days really is to manage change. So 72% of senior management, you know, folks reporting that culture helps successful change management, you know, initiatives to happen.
I got it.
Does not surprise me. And I think it puts a, it's interesting because it puts a perspective on this. We always hear culture talked about. We hear it from a lot of times from the employee and the candidate side. Oh, I want good culture. Oh, I'm finding good culture. I'm seeking good culture. Right. I don't as often hear about it being talked about top down.
Oh, my.
Right. Why is it important to the organization?
Yes.
So why is it, right.
Let me ask you this. How does culture affect recruiting? Why should hiring managers and internal recruitment folks be focusing on recruiting on their culture?
Why?
You know, going back to what you asked me before, right? You said, you know, how important is culture to candidates? So I said about, say, 9 out of 10 times, it's more important than anything. So a study was done by Glassdoor, and we mentioned them before, and the study looked at millennials.
Yes!
And that age group, and they found that they're more likely to care about work culture over salary. And that was 65% of those people in the survey responded to that.
65% of millennials care about culture more than money.
What?
More than half. Yeah, more than half the people care more about culture.
Yeah. That's incredible to me.
Me too.
And if that doesn't make the case for a culture ROI, why people should be investing money in their culture and spending for culture, then I don't know what does. I mean, because it sounds like you're kind of getting dollar for dollar there on that. Because if you don't have to pay people as much, I mean, I hate to put it this way.
Stop it now.
But you can take your money out of the comp bucket and put it into the culture bucket. Now, the problem is, how do you create culture? If I have a big old pile of money, how am I buying culture?
Wow, that's good stuff.
Right, exactly.
There's a big old backlash over, you know, ping pong tables, beer kegs, yeah, right?
Exactly.
So what am I spending this money on that I'm saving from comp? How am I spending it for culture? You know, what are employees, Danny, what are employees asking for when they say they want good culture? What are they really asking for, Danny?
Ice cold beer.
They're asking for a positive work environment. I think what you said is great. Like, people doing their job while not being in the office or not being on work hours, right?
And I think it changes by candidate, by talent too, right? I mean, some people are going to want flexible work arrangements.
Yes.
Some people are going to want to feedback.
Yes.
Right. I want to know how I'm doing. I want FaceTime with my boss, right? I want to know how I'm tracking to performance goals.
Right.
You know, and I think if we're like saying, okay, we get this big pile of money that we're going to now invest in culture, how do we do it? I think you're going to spend a lot of it finding out. You're going to be asking your employees what's important to them. You're going to be funding that if it's monetary. And if it's not monetary, I think, which sometimes is even the scarier thing, right?
Oh, no!
When people want to feel better about their work, like, oh, gosh, how do I buy that, right? Like, how do I go out and how much is that going to cost me? Like,
right.
You know,
right.
How much are your feelings going to cost me? How do I do this? You know, it's going to be training. It's going to be training your management staff. It's going to be training your leadership.
Yeah.
It's going to be training them on skills like empathy.
Yeah.
Like, how do I pick up on these cues? How do I become a better listener to my people? How do I hear those pregnant pauses in their speech when I talk about coming in on, you know, 5 days a week and identify without them even having to say so that there's some friction there for them?
So you're saying first it comes down to finding out what your people want.
Yes. Asking them in a real way, in a way that cares about the results, in a way that's, I think, anonymous at first. And then having conversations that feel safe to them where they can really be open about what is really important to them.
Oh, well.
Because one of the things that came out of the pandemic were stay interviews instead of exit interviews. Exit interviews are too far down the pipe, right? I mean, they're already gone. right? You know, they're out the door, you know? And a lot of people aren't even going to be honest anyway, because, you know, they want a reference or don't want to burn a bridge, or frankly, what's in it for them to tell you what's wrong with your company, right? But what about stay interviews, right? And talking to people before they, you know, become disgruntled, become disenchanted and leave, about what's important to get them to stay. And so it's almost falls in that category where you're having preemptive, empathetic conversations that are safe, that seek to understand what really makes people feel at home and successful. You're a high empathy person. I mean, we do Strength Finders at Glomo. Whenever we get a new team member, we always get the Strength Finders book.
Yeah.
And we put them through that, and then we all share our strengths and talk about how they fit into the team and everything. You know, Danny, empathy was one of the things you ranked really high on, if you don't mind me sharing that.
Yeah.
You know, what are you feeling right now about this topic?
I don't even know what that means.
For me, I feel that in my own personal experience, you know, joining Glomo, I'm just going to talk, I would say, you know, year into this now, right, in the talent space, we're starting to grow. I think we've done a really good job of creating a great culture here. We're off to a great start. Not only that, we're remote as well.
Mm.
And, you know, when I think about culture, it's being with people that really share a lot of the same core values as you. That's the way I feel about it, you know, and I know we went through that when we had our quarterly meeting, you know, what were our core values, and we all kind of came together on that, and it was great. It was great to see that. And I think when you're looking at culture, and the way I look at it is, are you aligned with the people you're working with? There's a lot of different things that go into culture that people talk about. But I think it's those core values that are key.
I love you.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. And somebody told me once, when I asked them, I say, well, how do you hire for diversity? How do you hire diversely and yet keep a consistent culture in your organization? And she told me that you want diversity of experiences.
Mm.
You want diversity of ethnicities and genders and, you know, even cultures, you know, culture being like geographic cultures, you know, things like that. But values have to be consistent.
That's right.
I totally agree with that. And that's actually what I realized when we went through that exercise, was we're all very different people. Like you said, our strength finders are all very different, but our values are very aligned. And when I speak with candidates, a lot of the ways that, you know, that gets them to resonate with the company is talking about their culture. And right away they can see themselves as, is this a company that's aligned with where I want to go, with a place that I want to show up to every day, and people that I want to work with.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And I think that's, it's funny, and it's really hard to explain, I think. And I think that's why people have a hard time understanding what it is. But it's one of those things where I think when you're in the right culture, you know it. It flows.
It feels right. It feels flows. Like you're at home.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, it flows, and you're productive, like we talked about before, how much it increases productivity. But yeah, and you know what's really interesting is, like, you know, kind of going back to how important it is to candidates, there was another study that Glassdoor did, and it was talking about that 73% of employees, of, you know, people applying for jobs, said they wouldn't even apply to a job unless the company's values aligned with theirs. So they wouldn't even actually apply or consider the position.
Mercy.
Yeah, that's incredible, you know, and I think that I'm always a big fan of companies advertising their values and values-based marketing. And I know some people think it's performative, and that's a whole nother discussion on the difference between kind of performative allyship and performative values marketing and things like that.
I agree.
But I'm a big fan on advertising your values and putting them front and center for a couple of reasons. One, your employees need to know where you stand on things. Future employees definitely need to know where you stand. And your customers need to know where you stand. And here's why, and a lot of people may not agree with this, but here's why. Because if you're upfront with these things, you have a much better chance of attracting good fits to your organization. And yeah. You know, Danny, the fit is so important with us at Glomo from a personnel standpoint and for a client persona standpoint. And it's all about fit, because when you have good fit, it's the business feeling of what you feel as an employee.
Yeah.
Right? So when you feel good culture as an employee, you feel at home. When we have good client fits and good employee-employer relationships, it feels at home also. It feels seamless. It feels natural. It feels like things are just kind of just happening. It feels easy, you know?
Oh, my.
I'm a big fan of hard work, but a lot of things should be easy in life. And if they're not easy and you get a little knot in your stomach and your tummy gets upset when you got to go do something, a lot of times that tells me that it's not right.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? It's like, it's so personal. Well, that brings me to like a kind of our final points here. How would you hire for cultural fit?
Yeah, that's a great question. For me, I think it's first to understand your culture. And I think that culture is actually a misnomer oftentimes for values. So yeah. Going back to what we talked about before, you need to define your values. For us, it's truth, love, and fun.
I love it.
And I always laugh when I say that, because fun is like, what is fun doing in your core values? Whatever, it's my company, I do what I want.
My king.
Truth, love, and fun. That's what we're about, okay? And if you can't get with that, you probably need to go somewhere else and be successful. So that's what we're about. And so when we identify those values and we remember those values in everything we do, then our culture becomes pretty obvious, right? When I tell you those values, like, you can probably envision what kind of place we are.
Yeah.
And then when we're super forward about those, then, you know, in our marketing materials, both in the way we market go to market, and also in the way that we market jobs and the way that we interview and in everything that we do, then we start to attract good fits, people who are consistent with those. I think oftentimes when you're recruiting people, you look at the job duties and you say, okay, I need a, you know, consultant with 3 to 5 years at a company that looks like mine, and they need to be able to do it between this range and that range, and I want them in the office 3 days a week, and what, you know, and you're giving all of these parameters.
Anything for you, my king.
And the last discussion is values.
Oh, no.
Or some people say culture fit. I actually wonder when people interview for culture, but that's a whole, maybe we have time, maybe we don't. But the last discussion is values. And I think the values discussion should be the first discussion.
That's great.
Otherwise, you're just hiring Band-Aids. You're not hiring core people. When you hire people based on, do you have the 3 to 5 years? Do you work within, you know, do you live within 25 miles of the office? You know, and do you know how to do XYZ assignments? Yes, you do. Okay, great. Oh, and by the way, how do you feel about truth, love, and fun? No, and maybe. All right, whatever. Bring them in anyway, because we got a job to do.
Gosh.
Then all of a sudden, those people flake out, you know, 6 months, 12 months, a year and a half down the road, because you didn't really take the time to look at what's important. 2/3 of people are telling you culture is more important than the money that they're paid. So why isn't it? Why would you think it's not more important than how well they can do the job? Air quotes well. How qualified they are to do the actual tasks. Why wouldn't you think that it's more? That's twice as important. You know, it is. And so I think that hiring for fit is super important. And then, you know, looking at job descriptions, you know, I think that's interesting, and writing them in a way where the voice is different and the voice reflects who you are as a company to stand out, because people are applying to so much. And then for me, to be honest, Danny, I've said this on previous podcasts before, I don't think I'm a necessarily amazing interviewer. I really don't. I tend to like believe in people a lot and like see opportunity and talent in people where they may not even see it in themselves, right? And they may not have the work ethic to execute on it, right? And so what I do is I get, you know, we do kind of like panel style interviews. You know, it's good to get second, third opinions. It's also really good to have diverse people on those interviews, right? So it's not just a white male interviewing somebody. So, you know, I think that's really important because we all have our biases. So I think it's important to have different types of people in your hiring panel to ensure you're accomplishing diversity, but who are all aligned from a value standpoint and know how to communicate the culture and the values to people. So that's kind of some of the tips I would recommend to people out there. What are your thoughts, Danny?
Talk to me.
Yeah, totally agree with everything. And hiring internally and being involved in that process, it became so clear to me once we went through our values.
Awesome.
Our three core values of really what type of person would do well and be happy here. And it becomes so much simpler once you do that. So I totally agree. And one interesting thing I read, which was a kind of an interesting idea in the SHRM article, is they recommended having a cultural ambassador. So having someone in your company be that person going on the interviews with people, not necessarily even the person that is, you know, hiring for the position or even involved, but a cultural ambassador, someone who's a real, almost like that perfect persona of, you know, representation of your culture, and having them engage with potential employees and also your employees that are currently working at your company. So designating people, it does, you know, they talked about preferably being someone in HR because that's usually their strong suit, but it doesn't even have to be someone from the HR team. It can be from a different part of the business.
You're my hero.
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. You know, I think we use Jana that way at our organization. And so, and she does kind of, you know, fill that people role for us. So, you know, I think that's a really good point. So, you know, it sounds like culture is extremely important, more important than we even know, or probably have admitted to ourselves in the people business, right? That it sounds like it's 2/3 of the equation for many folks. So it needs to become an imperative and probably a front burner compared to some of the conversations around, you know, comp and other things, right? We need to really be talking about culture first. It needs to be present in our marketing materials, both for the way that we market our business and the way that we market our jobs. And oh, by the way, when you're marketing your business, you're also marketing to future employees, right? Your customers are also your future employees, right? So you can't say one thing over here and then say, oh, I really meant this on a job description, right? So people find out that, you know, the world is flat and everybody knows everything these days. So I think that's important. And having those hiring practices where culture is culture, and I would say even values. I would be a big advocate for changing culture to values in many ways. So I think those are my big takeaways, Danny. Any takeaways for you?
Now?
Yeah, everything you're saying is so true to me. And the biggest thing I would say is, you know, if you're a candidate, figure out what those values are. Do your own core values, right? Do your own kind of top three things that are important to you in a company.
Okay, I got it.
And make sure that it aligns with the company that you're interested in applying for. Yeah, it's about, I think, being self-aware around that and then doing the same thing as an organization.
Awesome. This is a lot of fun, Danny, talking culture with you.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for joining in and listening to the Get Talent podcast today. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and let your friends in talent recruitment know that we are here talking to you. If you want to leave us some new topics, feel free to reach out to us on LinkedIn. I'm Ben Cross, CEO of Glomo.
Danny Herskowitz, Director of Talent.
Awesome. And get in touch with us. Till next time. Take care, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Get Talent Podcast.